You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Hi, how are you doing? I recorded this one early, so I don't even know how I'm doing right now. I hope I'm doing okay, and I hope you are too. The Castle Charming Kickstarter is still on. If this is a book you want to own, or if enamel pins make you happy, get your pledge in. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So, Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 3. Viola didn't bring a jumper. Viola Vale liked Sage's room best in this ridiculous share house. Not only because there was always an esoteric magical book to rifle through, or an awesome band t-shirt to steal. There was something about Sage's room that felt comfortable to her. It was her happy place. If she gave it any thought, she might come up with the theory that because Sage's magic was fiery, like hers, his territory automatically felt like her territory. But she never gave it that much thought. Besides, as far as Viola was concerned, any territory she wanted was automatically her territory. Then there was Dec's room. She'd spent most time there when visiting the top floor of the Manic Pixie Dream House, stupid name, because she'd been careless enough to get attached to the warm-eyed artist who lived there. His room was the opposite of comfortable, always full of half-finished sculptures and crates of stinky materials, even though he had a perfectly good studio in the garage downstairs. And the little dolls, for gaming, of course. They lined four shelves and were always staring down at her with their swords and axes and dragons and whatever. Sage's room had vinyl records and half-finished homework and no pressure. Dec's room had always been full of reminders of why they were very different people with a blinking expiry date on their relationship. Last night, she slept in Chauve's bed. Viola had hardly spent any time here at all, since Chauve moved into the Manic Pixie Dream House. She knew what his room was supposed to look like, from the beautiful magazine-spread Beachview Mansion where his family lived. She remembered the colour of the curtains, the shelves of rare books, the antique cabinet of amulets, the deep dressing room she'd always coveted because it was twice the size of hers, the carpet that felt like soft hugs under your bare feet. His room here, at the Dream House, was very different. It had no history to it. Almost no Chauve at all, at least not the Chauve she'd known since they were kids. He had a shelf for uni work and another for books he was reading. A poster of the floating orchestra on one wall that had been left there by the previous occupant. The wardrobe was a freestanding one, clunky on three of its four legs, and acquired from something called a tip shop, about which Viola had firmly not asked further questions. There was a grand mirror and a bright silken bedspread, which Chauve had brought from home, but the whole place felt unlived in, temporary. There were no traces of the smell and feel of Ferdinand Chauvelin here because there was no trace of the version of him she had known for so many years. No scent of shadow magic sticking to every surface. It was a quiet place to sleep, but it unsettled Viola. She shouldn't have agreed to stay here after the colossal fuck-up that was last night's party. At least she had Nightshade with her. Viola hated sleeping with men. Or indeed, sleeping with anyone. How were you supposed to line up your body with a whole other person, juggling pillows and covers? She didn't like being breathed on, or being touched while asleep, or having to limit where she put her feet. Dec had been great in bed when he was awake and paying attention, one of the many bonus features that came with the whole Dec package, but awful to sleep beside. His shoulders took up more space than they should, and he constantly turned over and over like a rotisserie chicken. How did someone with so little magic pour out so much heat at night? Viola ran warm too, so between them they created a tropical storm between midnight and morning. It was exhausting and sweaty. It was over now. so hardly worth dwelling upon. Jules Nightshade was the best boy to sleep with, despite, maybe because, he had no interest in taking off her clothes. Viola began his training at the age of 7 or so, every time the two of them fell asleep in front of mirror marathons of action movies or cartoons, while their parents had long dinner parties and plotted to take over the world. Jules Nightshade stayed where he was put. His arms and legs took up less space than you might expect, and his spine was the perfect shape for Viola to lean gently against. Her no physical contact rule was unnecessary for Nightshade, probably because her magic recognised him as so thoroughly her territory, he might as well be one of her own limbs, or a body pillow. Oh, and his magic was ice cool, balancing hers out so that together they created the perfect climate control, all night long. Viola awoke, cold. Was Jules dreaming of ice flying again? It felt like Chauve's silken bedspread had transformed overnight into thick igloo bricks, weighing her down. She wasn't even touching Jules. What the hell? Still half asleep, she rolled into him, cuddling up against his back to warm him up, but instead, she felt heat scorching up his side of the bed. Viola opened her eyes and found tiny beaded fringes of ice hanging from her eyelashes. What the fuck? She groaned. Jules, elfin and elegant in his sleep, so pretty when his sarcasm defences were not yet engaged, opened his own eyes. Vale, he said with a yawn. Did I freeze you? Sorry, love. Are you sick? She asked at the same time, pressing her cool, too cold hand against his scorching forehead. What's wrong with you? She saw the moment when the hangover hit him. I think I'm going to be sick, Jules groaned, folding himself over her entire body so he could yarf over the side of the bed. Don't you dare, Viola ordered him, smacking his shoulder. A horrible look went over his face, and he retched once. A glowing ball of fire vomited out of his mouth and set the carpet alight. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates, follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at SheepMightFly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. If you loved the Castle Charming podcast episodes, you probably want to get in on the Kickstarter before it closes. I'll see you next week.